So you will receive it via text, and I will give you a hard copy later.
Breathing twice as much.
But anyhow, we are now moving on, and we are going to look again. We looked at started this 2 weeks ago. We're going to be taking a look at temptation. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a couple of things about temptation, try to learn it, the importance of it, to learn how to teach it, learn how to deal with it, learn how to handle temptation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12 and 13. Who'd like to read that one for us? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. Brother Reagan, go right ahead.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Okay, so the very first thing I want you to realize, does temptation exist?
Very much
Yes,
so.
what is temptation?
Lust.
Okay, lust, what is temptation? Nobody knows at all.
The idea or the thought to do wrong.
Drawing you away from. The drawing away from. Now, is temptation, well, I probably ought to get the safest way if I say it right now. Is the temptation itself a sin?
No.
No. How do you know that? Anybody off the top of your head, how do you know that temptation itself is not a sin?
James one.
What's that?
Jesus.
Jesus was tempted. So it's not the temptation, it is the yielding to that temptation. Brother Ray.
It's like trying to teach us to explain it with the verses we have right in front of us.
Yep.
God makes a way for us to escape.
There it is.
So if God's made a way for us to go a direction, it would have to be a righteous way. It couldn't be,
Yes.
it couldn't contain sin.
Yes. And so there is, and that's ultimately what we're going to look at, is the there is a right way, there is a way to resist temptation. So the next thing in this verse right here, are you going to face a unique or solely your own temptation?
No.
No.
Common to men.
That is common. Now, that's really important, especially in our society, because everybody likes to think that they are a unique snowflake that exists and nobody understands me. I am an entity all my own.
I'm not.
Huh?
You get me.
Oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah. Are you a unique snowflake that nobody can possibly understand the enigma that is you? No.
You're quick.
Am I? Yes. So the reality is, everybody faces similar temptations. And the temptations that are going to affect you, are you going to be able to withstand them? Yes, you
Okay.
can. Do you have your hand up,
Well,
Roger?
James 1, regards to temptation.
Okay.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Yep. Absolutely. So 1 Peter chapter 5. Next thing I want to us to know and to establish. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 10. Who'd like to read that one for us? 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 10. Brother Jared, go right ahead.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. To resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Okay, so a couple of things right there. Verse 8, is there such a being known as Satan or the devil? Yes, he does exist. It's not a what? Just a what is it, Brother Dale? A spirit wandering out in the ether or whatever it might be. A phenomenon. Yeah, I introduced. What's that?
And Marvel.
That's. Well, I have no idea. I heard about it before Marvel, but you know.
Yes. No. I really well.
Not the comic book one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm not that ancient yet. The devil does exist. He is real. Don't pretend that he doesn't. He is our adversary. He is against us. Yes.
Well, and a lot of Christianity wants to make it so that the interpretation of the devil as a real being is actually invented. They try to claim that's an invented thing. And yet, at least in the King James, you can see very clearly that he is a being, that he deals with Jesus, that he deals with God, that he fights against God and angels. I mean, he is a true, real entity.
Yes.
Out there. But a lot of Christianity wants to wish him away or say that he's an invention. And that, I mean, that I hear that for people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in religion. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to what Brother Nathan was talking about. Just stick with what the Bible says and stay with it. That's what the Bible says. Say, yep, that's it. All right? Now, we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. And I got two verses that I want to deal with when we're dealing with Satan. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. And there's obviously some more things that we can deal with Satan. And I'm not going to try to get that direction. But realize he is evil. There is nothing good in him. And he does tempt and he does draw away. And you got to realize that people will be facing temptation from the devil. So Mark chapter 4, 14 and 15. Who would like to read that for us? DJ, go right ahead.
The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Okay, so does this occur?
Amen.
Yes. And I was just preaching about this the other day. It really is surprising. And the world that we live in, this is really, really prevalent. Anybody ever sat in a message and you hear the message and maybe it's very impactful or whatever it might be, and you're hearing and you walk out, and what do you think about?
Anything but.
What's next?
Anything but. Right?
What's my next?
Anything but. Right? That's the reality. Now, this one is dealing with lost individuals. Okay? When you are sowing the word, preaching the word to individuals, preaching the gospel to individuals, will the devil try to draw them away?
Yes.
Yes. It does occur. And which you got to realize that's real. And I try to encourage people, at least in the messages and talking to people, if you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, what do? You better react right then. You don't have, oh yeah, I'll do this tomorrow. Was that Festus? Is it Festus that says tomorrow, come back?
Yep.
Yeah, come back a more convenient season.
May not be there.
You got to realize that they may not happen. And the reality is when the Lord draws, you better answer. And it's important to maybe tell people about that. Yeah.
And it's true whether you're saved or not.
Yeah.
I think it's equally important as church members.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I see another hand?
Yes. Yeah, I started to say after Mike's class earlier, we may not have much more time to say a more convenient time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always think about that. You're right. And the days are upon us. They are very, very near. Okay. But I try to think about, I have no idea I can take another five steps and I dropped it. I have no idea. And this one scares me when I, you know, I preach a message of salvation and or whatever it might be, and there are individuals there that are lost. And they walk out the door. I wonder if God will actually ever draw them again. Not that I know. I don't know if he's drawn, because I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be. That's his. He's much better at that. But what if he doesn't draw? And people just come and come and come and come, and they just never get drawn. Like Brother Jacob's testimony, you were afraid of that. it kind of hit you all during that camp time. You were like, well, I never felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Scary deal, right? Now, with understanding a little bit about Satan, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 18. Who'd like to read verse 18 for us? I'm going to have to start picking people. Brother Tyler, would you please read 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 for us?
We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one toucheth him.
If you are saved, what does that say right there? I'm the only one. What's it say? That wicked one what?
Toucheth him not.
That is directly taught in Romans chapter 6. Sin shall what? Not have dominion over you. That is a definitive statement. If you are saved, sin shall not have dominion. Does not say that I cannot yield to sin, as it teaches in a couple of verses there, but sin shall not have dominion or lord or control over those that are saved. Why?
Sure is.
Because God is there. Because God is there. So in the understanding of Satan, first of all, he's real. Don't pretend he's not real. Second side of it, don't give him more power than he has. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. So, and realize, even if an individual is lost, who is still God? God, right? So do not place Satan above what he is. He is not God. He is not omnipotent. He is not all-knowing. He is not ever-present. That's God. Satan is not. And Satan cannot hold a candle to God. There is no closeness whatsoever. So realize the authority structure. He is stronger than you and I, but he is not stronger than God.
The hierarchy is God. It's way above everybody. And then the Bible brings out that Jesus, when he was human, was made a little lower than the angels. So in humans, that status is we're a little lower than the angels, and that's what Satan was. So yes, he has more power than us, but he's not.
Not even comparable.
Not even close to God.
Not even close to God. There is no comparison.
Job shows us that Satan knows that.
Yeah.
There's saints that he didn't even try. That's how I considered my servant Job. Why would I?
Yeah.
I didn't even cross his mind.
I didn't even try.
He knows how much greater God.
Yeah. I always love Revelation chapter 19. Jesus comes down with the sword of his mouth. What happens?
Death.
Do you see them put up much resistance? No. Gog and Magog. God comes down and or they encircle Jerusalem. And what happens to them? You think that they put up some kind of real resistance to God?
It's ever even out.
Yeah, yeah. He spoke. You're done. Brother Nathan.
You mentioned that word resistance, and I thought of from the James passage, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
So he's the hateable.
Yes, and we're going to get to that, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, you're 100% right. Realize that he is. He is not some all-powerful being. Don't pretend that he doesn't exist, because he does. But quite frankly, I don't really spend a lot of time teaching about the devil or talking about the devil. I would much rather spend it telling you about Jesus Christ. And I don't pretend that he doesn't exist. It comes up in a Bible study, question, you know, I'll cover, yeah, Satan's there. But there is no comparison between him and God. And that wicked one touches him not. And I'll just let you know, there is a weird thing. Can Satan possess someone who is saved? No. No. Realize that. And there are some people that are really scared of demonic forces. If the Lord is there, you don't have anything to worry about. Don't have anything to worry about. By the way, there are no such thing as ghosts. Little side note there. But anyhow, yes.
Where were you yesterday?
What was yesterday? What was yesterday? Maybe I don't know.
Tuesday.
Oh, Halloween. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right over my head. Yes.
He may not be able to possess you, but if you're not in the work of the Lord, he is able to lead you away into the world.
Okay. Yes. But whose choice is it? And we're dealing with those who are saved. Whose choice is it? It's always those that are saved. Yeah. Now, can he possess those that are lost? Certainly did.
If they're willing.
If they're willing. I don't know the ins and outs of all that, but he certainly did. And in the Gospels, there were some that were possessed of devils. And are there some today? My guess is yes. But I am not going to sit there and say, oh, that guy's possessed. I don't know that. I don't play that game. Could happen. But I'm not really worried about it because I know my God is greater.
So the conversation that Christ had with Peter about his death, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
So, Jack, you said that, right? We're not possessed of the devil, but can the devil use us?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't be heavily
influenced. He's talking to a church, where Satan's seat is.
Yeah.
So he's always there.
Yeah. You
know, wickedness in high places, he's always there to knock us off the rim.
Yeah. Wickedness in high places, by the way, is a New Testament church. That's there. Right? So let's take a look at another step, right? Kind of goes along with this a little bit. Genesis chapter 19. And I'm going to read a couple of verses on this, and maybe it's a little bit redundant, but there is a reason and a purpose for it. So Genesis 19 and verse 8. Brother Jax, you want to read that? Genesis 19 and verse 8. And hopefully we are familiar with some of these stories. Go ahead, Brother Jax.
Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and give ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.
I'll make this statement. Do not be surprised when people are in sin. Do not be surprised with sin. Because there is a interesting teaching, hopefully everybody teaches this. Is there such a thing as total depravity? What is the teaching of total depravity?
Have not.
It's kind of redundant.
Just what the
I know.
It's total.
Total. In that, within you, yourself, there's what? There is no
good thing.
A full tendency to do evil. So, especially preachers, pastors, future pastors, don't be surprised by sin. Now, I know we're in preaching, and everybody here that's a preacher preaches something, and he preaches about some kind of sin, and the congregation collectively goes, how dare they? Okay. And that's fine. Realize I don't want to minimize sin. Let's realize how bad sin is. Okay, that's fine. Good. But don't be surprised when people get caught up in a sin. And what's the example right here? Lot was a saved individual. He was just. And what did he do in these verses right here?
Lot takes to righteous soul.
Total depravity. Offered up his own daughters. Those parents in here.
Thank God couldn't have taken care of them.
Knows the gut-wrenching thought of that right there. And there is a thought, well, I would never do that. Well, I hope you never do it. I really do hope you never do it. I hope that never comes in, and I hope that never is an option for you. But you walk away from the Lord, don't be surprised where you find yourself. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Jace, you want to read for us? Brother Jace, I should say. You are saved, a member of New Testament Church, Brother Jace. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2.
And it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from his prophet bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and her woman was very beautiful to look
Now, I'm not going to read the whole story of David, but hopefully we know this. David was a man after God's own heart. He decided to stay home when it was time for them to go to war. Instead, what did he do?
Took a break.
Took a break, became a peeping Tom, became an adulterer, had a kid, murderer, covered it up. Okay. Do not be surprised of sin. Don't be surprised when it hits. Galatians chapter 2. And 11 through 13. You want to read again? You just like reading, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Brother Jax. Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 13.
But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For therefore that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with various dissimulation.
Okay, here was an apostle. A man in authority, a pastor, a preacher would never do X, Y, Z. Do not be surprised when people get themselves in sin. Brother Jackson.
This is pretty much a question. Is he being a hypocrite right here because he ate with the Jews, but when the Jews... He ate with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came around, he didn't eat with the Gentiles because he was afraid of the others.
Yep, he was favoring the Jews, and he was teaching that salvation is for all. And he was practicing something different from what he was teaching.
Yeah. And hypocrisy is like...
Not a good thing.
You can't do this, but you just turn around and do it.
Yep. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm just going to read this one because I am not going to get into all of the depravity that is in this world. Those of you who are adults are aware of some of the depravity that goes on in this world, some more than others. But here in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I'm not here to publicize them. I'm not here to tell you all the deals about them. Know that they're there. Know that they're real. And don't be surprised when people get them in there. Quite frankly, you better be teaching sinners. Because if somebody comes to you and they're righteous, what do you know?
They're lying.
That they're liars. What did Jesus say? They that behold need not a physician. So realize the people that we're going to be dealing with, everybody needs Jesus, including ourselves, which is why I spent so much time on this. As we go to Galatians chapter 6, when we are dealing with temptation, when you are teaching about temptation, when you are instructing and dealing with the difficulties that go on in this life, you better be prepared. You better watch out. You better know yourself. You better be cautious, or God puts it much better than me. Verse 1, who'd like to read Galatians 6, verse 1? Well, I got two quick volunteers. Brother Jace, go right ahead. I guess we'll let these guys read. Galatians 6. But you were reading wonderfully. Your dad has taught you well. Huh?
Yeah.
What's that?
Cool. Yeah.
Galatians 6, verse 1.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Also be tempted.
Hey, so when you are instructing, when you're dealing with sin, when you're dealing with temptation, what is the first step that you got to make sure, according to that verse. Consider yourself. Realize that don't set yourself as a different individual. Realize that you are just as much a sinner as they are.
Yeah.
And I don't care, and this is why I went to Ephesians. Well, I would never do X, Y, Z. I can't believe that you did X, Y, Z. The moment I have the attitude of, well, I would never do that, what attitude are you approaching it with?
Pride, Pharisee.
Pride, Pharisee. Now, with that being said, do not minimize the damage that the sin causes. And do not be afraid to call out the sin and declare how bad it really is and the damage that was caused. Example, Nathan and David. Nathan laid it out. Nathan told him. And then David repented. And what did Nathan tell him? The Lord has accepted your repentance, but you know what? For the rest of your life, you are now going to be dealing with this sin. And your baby is dead. So, be real. Don't place yourself above or greater than, but also don't be afraid to say you will reap what you sow. And this is no joke. You're going to have to deal with this. And it may be the rest of your life. The one that I equate it to, and it's a real thing, people raise their children in the world. Even Baptists, members of a New Testament church, raise their children in the world. And years later, many come and say, oh, but you know what? I'm going to repent. I'm going to start putting the Lord first, and I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to start doing that. Well, you know what you did? For the last 20 years, you've been walking away from the Lord. And just because you repent now does not fix all of the mistakes that have taken place. You ought to pray every day for your children, and maybe the Lord will have mercy. But pretending that it's not real is a fool's errand. Because it is real, Brother Ray.
I don't know why I'm stuck with this, but Ananias and Sapphira, all yeah. they did was a little financial crime against God, right? What did he do? He killed them.
Killed them. Yeah, Brother Jared.
I think of Moses. He lived his 40 years with promise that he was going to leave Israel. One thing that he did, that one sin of disobeying God's law, and that got taken from him.
Yeah.
And no matter how close he got with God, no matter how much God forgave him, God still didn't let him leave him in the promise, which was his goal, the promise, way back in the beginning. He went through all the hardship for that, and he still lost out.
That was 40 years before they went into the promised land. Surely he made it up in 40 years. There's still consequences for your sin. You will reap what you sow. So here's the deal. Don't minimize sin. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. But also don't be surprised when people get themselves into sin. And there are solutions. The solution, first and foremost, is the realization, how quickly does God forgive sins? If you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. That's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says. If that's what the word says, then that is 100% true, which means I can repair that relationship between me and the Lord. I may not be able to repair the relationship or the damage that I have done otherwise. Questions, comments? James chapter 1. Understanding sin or understanding temptation and dealing with temptation. We are going to spend a little bit of time and might be still on this tomorrow, but we're going to look. This is an important aspect to realizing temptation and what to do with temptation is in these verses right here. So James chapter 1, and we're going to read straight through them first, but we're going to break through them afterwards, 13 through 15. Who would like to read James 1, 13 through 15? Brother Christian, go right ahead.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath deceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Okay, so we're going to break these down. I don't know that you've done this or not. I hope that you have, but this is the basics that we need to do. So the first thing right there in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, what? But I'm tempted of God. And why? What temptation are we talking about? Because I can show you in the Old Testament where he did tempt people. But what does he clarifies it right here in this verse? What does he say? He will not tempt you towards evil. And there is a big thing. God will not tempt you with evil. Period.
Well, I know Proverbs that says the fear of wisdom is the beginning of
knowledge.
Right? Wasn't really Psalm 103:12. The heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that hear it. As far as the east is from the west, so far as the temperature freshens from the father many of his children, so the Lord many of
them. So you're talking about when we were dealing with the sin and the repair? Yes. The Lord will forgive sins. Yeah. Doesn't always fix the reaping and the sowing of what we are doing now. Okay? Yes.
About I'm tempted of God, it's just common sense. There's even a verse in the Bible that says, and he knew no sin. So it's just common sense.
Okay.
You just need to get in the Bible, study it, and you'll get a better understanding of it.
Yep. Okay. So James chapter 1, verse 14 says, how is an individual tempted? Every man is tempted how?
He
is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, I want to pause right there. There's an interesting thing that I encourage you to go take a look at. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Somebody want to read that for us? Who's got that one? Luke 22, verse 15. All right, Brother Jace, you got your hands faster than anybody else. Luke 22, verse 15.
My day then desire have desire to eat this passive and eat it before I supplement.
With desire, I have desired to eat. Does anybody ever look up that word desire?
To want.
Encourage you to look it up. It is the same word as lust. Here.
Great.
So the lust is not here. Other places it is dealing with the lust of the flesh. This one is dealing with a desire. So, is all desire bad? No. No. There are desires, especially in their proper order, in their proper place, that is a good thing. But what does it say here? When lust hath conceived. Anybody know what that word conceived means? What's that?
Planted in.
It means grabbed a hold of or drawn. It now has you. So when you think about temptation, you are tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. Okay? But when lust hath conceived. And what does that mean? When lust has grabbed a hold, or now you are now controlled by that lust. You are given into it outside of its rightful place. And the one that's easy to think about is fornication. Obviously outside of marriage, is that desire real? Desire for the opposite? Yes. Is the desire for the opposite sex an evil in and of itself? No, because who put that there? God did that. But outside the bonds of marriage, when you act on that, or you are drawn away, conceived, What happens? Now it is sin. In the bonds of marriage, there's nothing wrong with it. That is the right place for it. That is the proper order. So it's when this desire, this lust, takes you away from where you should not be, or takes you outside of the order of God. And when that happens, when lust hath conceived, it what?
Bringeth forth
sin. When you allow that desire to take a hold of you, and that could be small, that could be big, whatever it might be, the moment that that takes hold, then it's sin. And let's think about something very simple. Is going to church a good thing? Yes. Is going to church a good thing? And you should put it this way. If I go because Brother Tyler will come to my house and jump on my case if I don't go, what has that now become? An obligation. Something, now I am motivated or I am driven not of the right direction. And you realize you could be forsaking the assembly and sitting in the pew. Because of the wrong motivation, the wrong direction. Because my lust now is the approval of mankind, not the approval of God.
Sorry.
Now, that's a really simple thing. And you know what? Nobody knows that but me and me alone.
God.
Which is why when you're dealing with temptation, when you're understanding sin, when these things are there, understand them in the small things. I'd like to use the small things and even the simple things as much as the motivation or the reason behind going to church. Much as the same thing, you can do the same thing with witnessing. Is witnessing taught in the Bible? Yes. What if I do it because I have to?
It becomes a priority.
Well, Philippians says, well, good, I'm glad Jesus is being preached, but you're doing it out of the wrong motivation. And Ephesians chapter 2 says you're not doing it based on love, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
So when we think about those things, the motivation or the very simple things, the very simple reasons as to why, and those little things and the big things. Realize that temptation is when I am drawn away of my own lust. Sin grabs a hold of me, or I am conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin bringeth forth death. Brother Jax.
I was going back to the, I'm there, but I'm not really there. Like when you're sitting in church and you're like, well, I'm here, that must be just good enough. You're there for the wrong reason. And your mate, and at one point, it becomes a priority. Like, I just come here 3 times a week, that's it. And then you're doing it out of the, like you said, the wrong reason.
Yep.
My parents made me come, I have to do it because God expects me to. And...
Well, thank you. Now, on that, come anyways.
Exactly.
And fix your want to.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. That does not mean just because I brought it out that way, some people says, well, now I guess since I can't come in the right motivation, I guess I won't come. No, you come anyways, and then you get and you repent and you get the right attitude behind
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Yeah. So.
Well, I love that because, you know, it clarifies what in the scriptures here that it's your lust.
Yeah.
And James chapter 4 tells us it's the lust that worth than our memory. We have the problem already.
They're
sinners. It's no good to do it not. It's sin. We have a problem. I've heard it so many times. People say, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't even know. You know, it's like something took over me. It's a lie. You know exactly what you're doing in the moment.
Well, now, I'm gonna. You're right, but I'm going to tell you, people, if you do not pay attention, Proverbs chapter 4, let thine eyes look straight on, ponder the path of thy feet. If you are not paying attention, you're walking in darkness, and you're going to stumble at the things that you don't know what you're stumbling at. So people say, well, I don't know what happened. I just slipped up and a cuss word came out. Well, you're right. Okay. That didn't happen. But why didn't that happen? It's because they have not been meditating on the word every day. It's because of the pattern of their own actions, because they have decided that, you know what, today I am not going to be thinking about the Lord. I'm not going to be meditating on his word. And then I just don't know what happened. I'm just going through this life. And then all of a sudden this happened. Well, you're right. It's not because of nothing. But you will be blindsided in ways that you don't realize. Another example, Lot. If you would have told Lot the day before that, hey, tomorrow you're going to offer your daughters up to a bunch of men, what would he say? No way. I would never do that. Yeah, you will. Yeah. But, and you think that took him by surprise. Didn't have to, because he knew and he should have. The Lord instructed him to. But don't be surprised when people get themselves into sin. Okay. Questions, comments? Out of time, let's all stand. Brother Nathan.